Anatomy of Energy.
Hey everybody, Dr. Rick here. Welcome to Anatomy of Energy Podcast.
Welcome to a podcast that is based on people's experiences with addictions. Most episodes are interview-based, so sit back and enjoy Dr. Ricky J. Colmer, PhD, LAC's newest podcast, AOE, Anatomy of Energy. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host, Dr. Rick.
Welcome back to episode 2 of AOE. I would like to offer special thanks to Frederick Hospital and St. Catherine's Hospital for saving my daughter's life after her automobile accident. At the time of the accident, I was in North Carolina visiting my son, who was serving in the United States Marine Corps. We received a call in the middle of the night letting us know that she was being flown flight for life to Frederick in Milwaukee. We were advised to take the soonest flight possible as they didn't think she was going to survive. It was a very trying time, to say the least. The prior episode was an introduction to Stephanie and her heroin addiction. Most of that episode was scripted in order to learn more about her personality. We have decided to do a chronological series to offer a better understanding of what transpired prior to me discovering she was a heroin addict. After listening to episode 1, I am sure that you have discovered that it doesn't matter if you are rich or poor, educated or uneducated, upper, middle, or lower class. Heroin, what I commonly refer to as the demonic drug, can devastate you and your loved ones, especially in today's world where a variety of drugs are laced with fentanyl. While preparing for this episode, I had the privilege of speaking with a couple of middle school teachers who are very concerned, not only regarding their children, but their students as well. It is well documented that drugs are within our school boundaries. If you are a parent, please do not be afraid to confront your children regarding this issue. No one is safe, especially with the large amount of fentanyl that has entered our communities. In this episode, we will discuss Stephanie's experiences from 2009 through 2012, including giving birth to a daughter, her marriage, her separation, and then learning that her husband was a heroin addict. With that said, please welcome Stephanie for episode 2.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, not a problem. I think the first episode, we did a lot of stuff that was scripted. In this episode, I'd rather that we just kind of go through the complete scenario of how you ended up using heroin and what transpired. So why don't we start with the year 2009?
Well, in 2009, I was still actively using Percocet from my car accident. And then eventually I ended up getting pregnant and having a child. So I stopped taking the Percocet at that point when I was pregnant.
Okay. Were you married at that time or no?
No, I was not married at that time.
Did you end up marrying the person that you ended up having a child with?
Yes, in 2010.
Okay, so why don't you give us a rundown on 2010, what happened with you?
So in 2010, at this point, my daughter was a year old already.
Okay.
And I found out he was a heroin addict, but I wasn't really knowledgeable of what a heroin addict is at this point.
Did it seem like he was normal and ate normal and slept normal and things everybody else would do?
Yes, and that's what really surprised me because he did eat normal, he did sleep normal, he did act normal for quite some time.
Was he working at that time or doing anything to make money?
Yes, he was a tattoo artist, so that's what he was doing for a living.
Okay. Did you get tattoos from him?
I did.
A lot of them or a couple of them?
Yeah, quite a bit.
And so did it affect his artwork when he was doing heroin?
Eventually it did, not in the beginning.
Okay, so you didn't really know at all that he was an addict at this point.
Right.
So let's try to go into the next year, and you can kind of give us an idea how that went.
So in 2011, we were pretty much living a normal married life. At this point, I was back on the prescription medication, the Percocet, and I also went to college for CNA as well.
Did you become certified?
I did. And then things started going downhill. We started to argue a lot. We weren't getting along with quite a few things.
And did that happen because of his heroin addiction, or did that just happen because of typical marriage stuff?
I believe, looking back at now, that it was because of his heroin use. But in 2011, I still wasn't aware of behaviors and how it affects other people around you. Because, like I said, I wasn't knowledgeable of heroin use.
Okay. How did you find out he was doing heroin?
He told me.
Oh, he told you?
Yes.
And he just said, I'm doing heroin?
And yes. He said, I need to tell you something. I'm a heroin addict.
And then what happened after that? I mean, did you have problems with your child, or did she witness the arguing? What was going on there?
No, we kept it from her. So she was real little at this point. So we didn't want, you know, the arguing to affect her in a negative way. But she, you know, our differences were just on, like, his behaviors, how he was acting, because we never had a problem with parenting, co-parenting whatsoever. It was more like he started having women over at the apartment, tattooing them when I wasn't around. You know, he was talking to different people that I didn't approve of, just different things like that.
Let's move on to 2012, when apparently that's when you began using heroin.
Yes. In the beginning of the year 2012, my husband and I split up. And then I started using later that year.
Okay, so what actually caused you to split up, to break up?
Just differences and his behavior on heroin. It just, we weren't getting along anymore.
And just had enough. Okay. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
So I started using heroin. He wasn't aware of me using heroin at this point. We still went about, you know, co-parenting and everything, and, you know, joint custody. So
do you think maybe he had an influence on you using heroin, or?
No, he did later on in my life, in the years to come.
But not at this point?
No.
Okay, so you found someone else to do the heroin with?
Yes, I was using with a different person.
Without him even knowing?
Correct.
Okay, and then kind of what, give us an idea of how you lived while you were on the heroin.
Well, life was, in the beginning, when I started snorting it, and then eventually I went to smoking it, my life at that point was still normal. I just was using heroin because it was easy to get, and then I realized at this point that I was addicted to it. And like, the addiction happened so quickly that you don't even realize it. You just feel like you're on top of the world. In the beginning of my addiction, I did. I felt like I could conquer anything. I felt that I could accomplish anything that I wanted to do. I felt that everybody didn't notice and they weren't aware of my addiction. I just felt unstoppable.
Okay, at that time, they didn't have fentanyl yet either, so it wasn't as dangerous. Even though it's dangerous, it wasn't as dangerous as today, right?
Anytime that I did use, heroin was not cut with fentanyl at that point like it is today.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty dangerous. So kind of give us maybe a little idea of where you did it, how you did it, and who you did it with, or if it was only by yourself. And
I did it with a group of people back then that I thought were my friends, of course, but they weren't. It was just, you know, people that you get comfortable using with, and you're with these people every day. And then I started feeling even more on top of the world, because as I continued to use, I was experiencing using in different ways.
not too long after I started using, someone I was using with introduced me to using it with the needle.
So when you were using a needle, were you injecting in your hands, your arms, your feet? Where exactly were you injecting?
Mainly my hands.
Mainly your hands. Was the high a much stronger high, or was it just kind of like the same?
No, it was definitely more intense and a lot stronger than snorting it or smoking it.
So how was the feeling then? It had to be way different than before.
You felt unstoppable. It would take over your body. This warm feeling would just overcome your entire body from head to toe, like all in your veins. And then once it hit you, you get a big amount of energy, but you would nod out at the same time.
Okay, so how long was the high when you injected heroin?
Typically, the high lasts like pretty much almost all day long for me.
Oh, did you have any episodes during this year where you did an overdose of any type or thought maybe you were doing an overdose?
No, it wasn't until 2013 that I actually did have an overdose.
So during the year 2012 that we're in, did you work, and if so, kind of where or what type of work, and maybe where you lived at that time?
I did work, and I was doing CNA work at the time, and I lived with the friend that I had back then that introduced me to shooting up.
Did you continue working as a CNA during that whole year, or did you work part of the year?
I did, because at this point, the heroin wasn't affecting my life in a way that it started to in the following year, in 2013.
So while you were working as the CNA, you were doing heroin, obviously.
Yes.
And you were going to work high on heroin.
Yes.
And no one knew this.
Right.
So it had to be something other than a hospital, correct? Where did you do it?
It was home health care.
Home health care. So you would go to people's homes while you were on heroin to help them.
Yeah, I had one person that I took care of.
And that person never realized that you were on heroin or anything?
No, not at all.
And what was going on with your daughter during this time, during 2012 at this point?
At this point, you know, my ex-husband and I, we decided to do joint custody. So she would go 2 weeks with me and then 2 weeks with him. So we were still raising her. Everything, what I thought at this point, was going well until later on in my life, it all crumbled to pieces.
Okay. And you were both doing heroin while you were raising your daughter, obviously.
Yes.
The format has changed for this podcast. And it looks like we're going to be doing chronological instead of what we initially anticipated in the first episode. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay, so then in the next episode, we'll begin with 2013, and hopefully we can take care of that, and 2014 maybe, and then go from there, because there'll be a lot of things that we have to cover.
Okay? Sounds good.
Okay, then we'll see you again in the next episode.
See you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to AOE. If you'd like to make a donation, you can send check or money order to Ricky J. Colmer at 33 North Waukegan Road, Suite 4, Lake Bluff, Illinois, 60044. Make sure you tune in to each episode, as there may be some information that can help save you or a loved one. If you have any questions, feel free to email aoe.anatomyofenergy@gmail.com. Thanks, and have a happy and healthy day.